Voices of Hope is a podcast of New Hope Presbyterian Church in Castle Rock, Colorado. New Hope is a church that puts people first. Our Sunday worship is on site and online at 9:30 a.m., and you can listen to our sermons and podcasts on iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and any popular podcast platforms. This week, Pastor Caressa finishes our sermon series, Meeting Jesus at the Table, with a sermon titled, Revived by the Breaking of Bread. The scripture comes from Luke 24, 13 through 35, and is read by Lois Johnson.
Last Sunday was Easter, the day we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That glorious day when the impossible was made possible, when death was defeated and life was liberated from the tomb. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Later that same Easter day, in the afternoon, two of Jesus' followers left Jerusalem and headed to the town of Emmaus. Let us listen to God's word to us, found in Luke 24, 13 to 35, as we encounter the risen Christ. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see Jesus. He said to them, 'How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself." As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going farther. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, "It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, friends, we are still celebrating Easter, and we are in our last week of a sermon series called Meeting Jesus at the Table. We've been studying the book by Campbell and Foer to look at the different ways and instances where Jesus met people at the table, whether it was the tax collectors, whether it was bringing Zacchaeus down from the tree to go to his house. There were many, many different times that Jesus met people at the table to minister with them. For him, the table was a tool of connection. It was a way to meet people where they were, to come on common ground, to break down different social and cultural barriers, and to just be with people, to share and to provide for their physical needs, as well as for their spiritual needs. So we continue today, as you heard earlier, with that story of the two on the road to Emmaus and where they find Jesus, but it takes a little while for them to recognize him. But first, before we get to that, I want to share with you a story. So at my previous church, each summer, I would take a group of middle school and high school youth on a mission trip. It was one of my favorite things to do. And actually, last summer, my kiddos got to go for the first time, which was a very different experience for mom. But it was wonderful. And so we would typically partner with a nonprofit organization that specialized in repairing homes for elderly people who were living in poverty. And so in the summer of 2019, we were assigned to Mr. Smith's house, a 91-year-old man who lived on his own. And the crew before us, and by the way, just remember, this is in Texas. It's a little hotter there than it is here. And so we're in the middle of June, and the crew before us had repaired his roof because it had gotten damaged between a lot of different storms and hail. And so our job was to come in and to repair the rotten molded sheetrock in the kitchen ceiling. And it was an all-female team, and we were up for the task. I learned a lot that year, let me tell you, learned a lot. Well, every day we worked in the hot, steamy summer in this very small one-bedroom house, and the only air conditioning in the whole house was this one little window air conditioning unit in Mr. Smith's bedroom. And that's where he would stay most of the day because that was the only place that he could stay cool. Well, as you can imagine, the house had no air conditioning. It's in the middle of summer in Texas. We are working on the ceiling in the kitchen, digging all this molded, rotten sheetrock out. You can imagine it gets a little stuffy in there, right? And so we just couldn't wait every day until we got the lunch break so we could actually go outside, catch a breeze. And the only shade we could find was on Mr. Smith's front porch. And so that porch really became our lunch table every day. And whew, we couldn't wait to get a breeze, even though it was hot and muggy and humid. Thank God I'm in Colorado. And we have been on these mission trips before, and one of the things that we really look forward to every year on these mission trips is getting to know the homeowners. And we get to know their life, we get to hear all about them, we get to make these connections and relationships. But Mr. Smith rarely came outside. I mean, most of the day he spent in his bedroom because that's where the coolest place was. And so we were really sad about this because we wanted to know who he was. We wanted to know about his life. We wanted to listen to his stories. And in fact, on the third day, one of the young people in our crew knocked on his bedroom door and asked if he would come have lunch with us on the porch. And he sadly declined because it was just too hot. Then it came to our last day at Mr. Smith's house. And we still had a lot of work to do, but we were ready to get it done. And so we pulled up in the van, we pulled up to Mr. Smith's house, and there he was, standing on the porch, holding a box of donuts. I know how much you all love your donuts, right? And so we were like, wow. And he greeted us there on his porch, and he said, listen, thank you so much for the invitation to come to lunch. He goes, but after a certain time of day, I just can't go outside. It's just too hot. He goes, so I had my neighbor go get us donuts so that we could sit on the porch in the cool of the morning and visit. Is that okay? We said, absolutely, Mr. Smith. And even though we had a lot of work left to do on his kitchen, we sat there on the porch in the cool of the morning sharing donuts with Mr. Smith. He told us about his wife who had passed away 10 years ago. He told us about his sons and his grandchildren, his time in the Navy, his work with veterans over the last 20 years. And that this was the first house he and his wife bought 65 years ago, and he could not imagine living anywhere else. And then he thanked us for working on his house. He shared how his faith had been renewed and strengthened, seeing all these young people spend their summer repairing his house, the house he and his wife built. And then he looked at our group and he told us, he goes, girls, you are the hands and feet of Christ. So keep at it. After we put in a full day's work, we got in the van and we prepared to head back to where we were staying. And out of the very back of the van, this little voice, the youngest member of our crew, cries out and she goes, hey, you know what? I saw Jesus today and he didn't have bread, but he had donuts. Frederick Buechner said these words, and I have found them to be true. Sacred moments, the moments of miracle, are often everyday moments. The moments which, if we do not look with more than our eyes or listen with more than our ears, reveal only a garden, a stranger coming down the Emmaus Road behind us, a meal like any other meal. But if we look with our hearts, with our whole being and imagination, what we may see is Jesus himself. Ordinary moments are sometimes sacred moments. And sometimes we really do have to look with more than our eyes and listen with more than our ears. We have to experience it with our hearts and with our spirit. Sometimes, unexpectedly, a sunrise, a song, a front porch, the touch of a loved one, the sound of a child, a meal shared together, becomes the means of grace, a sign that the Holy is present, that the risen Christ is there with you. It was Easter afternoon, and two followers of Jesus left Jerusalem and began the 7-mile trek to the village of Emmaus. And there they were, walking and rehashing every detail of the last few days. They were trying to make sense of what had happened to Jesus. Now, we don't know much about these two. Only one is named Cleopas, and he and his companion, what we can decode is that they were not part of the original 12 disciples, but that they were followers of Jesus, because in verse 33, it says they went to go tell the 11 disciples what they had experienced. But it's clear that Cleopas and his companion knew the disciples well, and they were followers of Jesus. They had seen his miracles. They had heard his teachings. They believed in the prophecy that he was the one, the Messiah. But on that Friday, we now ironically call good, all of their hopes and dreams died on the cross alongside Jesus. And we hear in the scripture that as these two walked along the road, immersed in their sadness and confusion, a stranger comes walking up alongside them. But scripture tells us that their eyes were kept from recognizing that it was Jesus. And Jesus, I love that, he's like, so what are you talking about? And they say, are you the only person in Jerusalem that doesn't know about the things that have just happened? And Jesus goes, what things? It's almost like you just wanted to wait and see what they would say, right? And so they disclosed to him everything that had taken place on that Holy Week, the betrayal, the arrest, the crucifixion, the death, the tomb, how their hope in a revolution was faded away, even the testimony of the women from that Easter morning. And then finally, Jesus speaks up and he says, don't you see? These things had to happen this way. And then beginning with Moses, Jesus begins to connect the dots for them, scripture by scripture, prophet by prophet, unveiling, unraveling, interpreting the scriptures and how they spoke to God's salvific plan in and through Jesus. And yet these two still did not recognize the risen Christ in their midst. It wasn't until they sat down together at the table that their eyes were opened and they realized who he was. They're sitting at the table, Jesus and Cleopas and his companion, and his words and his gestures mirrored what had happened in that upper room. Jesus took the bread and he blessed it and he broke it and he gave it to them. And it was there, in the breaking of the bread and the sharing of the meal that their eyes were opened to recognize Jesus in their midst. It was there, walking alongside them on the road, that their hearts were burning as Jesus unraveled and interpreted the scriptures for them. It was there in the presence of Christ that their failed hopes and dreams were resurrected to new possibilities. And it was there in that moment that they encountered the risen Christ. Jesus, the risen Jesus, used scripture and table, word and sacrament to reveal God's truth to these two followers. And God continues to use word and sacrament to reveal the truth of the risen Christ to us today. Now, many of us watch and wait for the divine to break in extraordinary ways. Maybe it's a dramatic event. Maybe we expect the big booming voice or a bright light to shine from heaven. Wouldn't that be great? Bing, 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 here's your sign. Here's what you need to do. Gosh, don't we wish for those big signs, right? Sometimes we look for those, we hope for those, we wait for those. But I've realized that it's often in the simple and ordinary ways that the risen Christ appears to us, that the Word of God comes to us, that we sense the presence of the Holy Spirit. I have found that sometimes it's as simple as a friend who texts me to check in on me. I may have not have heard from them in months, maybe even a year, and somehow, some way, they feel compelled to text and to check on me. Sometimes we sense the risen Christ through a stranger who offers to help, or a 91-year-old man sitting on a porch eating donuts. Sometimes the risen Christ appears to us through a scripture that speaks to what is going on in our life, a song that moves us, a sermon that inspires us, maybe someone calling you by name when they hand you the bread of life and the cup of salvation. By word and sacrament, the risen Christ opens our eyes to see signs of Christ's presence around us. Sometimes we just have to look. We just have to open our eyes to truly see. The risen Christ attunes our ears and illumines our minds to God's living word that comes to us, that guides us. By word and sacrament, my friends, the risen Christ readies our hearts to receive Christ's love to strengthen us, transforms our lives with grace and forgiveness. The risen Christ appears to us when you are told that you are loved, that you are cherished, that you are forgiven. The risen Christ appears to us and empowers our bodies to be the hands and feet of Christ and ignites our voices to share the good news that we have been given. And friends, every time we come to this table, the risen Christ meets us here. Today, the risen Christ meets us wherever two or three are gathered in his name. The risen Christ comes and meets us here at the Lord's table and says, "You are loved. You are valued. I give you grace, not judgment. I give you love and peace, not punishment." Our risen Christ meets us here, a table where all are welcome. A table where you are loved and accepted just for who you are. A table where we are united with the risen Christ, but we are also united with one another as siblings in God's family. We are come to this table where we live into and receive the word and the sacrament, scripture and table, through the cups, through the gifts of the cup of salvation, and the bread of life. Friends, as we come to this table, may we be companions on that road, on that journey of life and faith. And may we support one another. May we walk side by side, step by step, to live as God's children and to embody the resurrection of hope and of love in this place.
Thank you for listening to Voices of Hope. If you have enjoyed our podcast, please rate and review it and share it with your friends. If you want to know more about New Hope, you can subscribe to our weekly email newsletter, The Midweek Memo, by going to our website and signing up. Friends, May you love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And may you go and love your neighbor as yourself. Go in peace.